I'm excited to share with you this morning about the glory transformation. If you were here last Sunday, Mickey and I were just back from being with Mark and Robin, and we welcome you back to Grace House this morning. The Sewells, who have such a flourishing ministry in Guatemala. We spent 8 days there, and we began that time in Almolonga, Guatemala, where 50 years ago began a great transformation that became known around the world and continues on to this very day. And I'm going to be stepping back into some things about that this morning. What we're after here is to see a transformation in our region and beyond. And we want to see that beginning here in our culture, at Grace House, in our congregation, and touching the whole Tennessee Valley. And we believe God has purposed that for other congregations as well. So if you can just, in your mind, seeing the glory of God hovering over this Tennessee Valley, it becomes a place where it's hard to go to hell from here. It becomes a place where it's more difficult to live an ungodly life just because of the conviction, the fear of the Lord, and the raw power of the gospel unfolding in people's lives. This past week, I listened to a portion of a podcast of a man who was a warden. His name's David Mills. He was a warden in the state of Tennessee for over 30 years in 7 different prison systems in the state of Tennessee. He was asked about what landed a lot of people in the prison, a lot of the guys. He was, of course, in men's prison. And he said one time some parents came up and said, "Our son is in your prison." And he said, "I imagine that when he became a young man, a teenager, that he quit going to church with you, didn't he?" "Yes, he did. He started running with the wrong crowd, didn't he? Hanging out with the wrong kind of people in the wrong kind of places." "Well, yes, he did. Then he got involved in drugs and alcohol, didn't he?" "Yes, he did. You know our son." He said, "No, I don't know your son. That's just the story of so many people in the prisons where I serve." You see, it really does matter what kind of culture, what kind of environment that we raise our families in. You can be affected positively or negatively by where you live. The Bible very clearly teaches us that righteous Lot, his soul was vexed because he lived in Sodom. In other words, there was an atmosphere of debauchery and immorality and so forth. Also, it was a very prosperous place. So, what's in our crosshairs is a transformation wrought by the Spirit of God moving upon a people and a place, awakening that people, aligning and adjusting those communities with the government of God in heaven, so that heaven is manifested in the realm of earth. And last week I shared with you a message, "When God Heals the Land." And I shared with you, I'll show you some of those photos in a moment, but I shared with you about Almolonga and how the land actually was healed. The soil there was so acidic, they were told that you're going to have a hard time getting anything to grow here in this valley up in the mountains. Pastor Mario, that we were able to meet with, Mark set that up for us, and we were able to spend some time. I was able to ask him some questions. I recorded that. And I've gone back and listened to that several times. He shared that before the transformation began, and I mentioned this last week, that they would work all month in that valley, and they would be able to get one load of vegetables from what was produced. He said the transformation, when it first started, that first week, they got 10 truckloads instead of one truckload per week. He said, and then it went to 20 truckloads, 30 truckloads, 40 truckloads. He said, now, every day, 50 to 60 big trailer truckloads of vegetables are hauled out of there. They have three major harvests a year there in that valley. In the short time we had with him, he shared a whole lot of nuggets and insights that just really have set me on fire about this idea of transformation. Here's something he said. I quote him. He said, the glory of God became stronger and stronger here. There were testimonies of fire coming out of the doors and windows of the building. He's talking about the church building. It was a season of glory. Now, there are a lot of people in this room. We have been in a service or a series of services where God's glory manifested, and that's awesome. And, you know, through the years at Grace House, there have been times it's like that there will be a wave of glory that will come in, and just supernatural things happened on a level beyond what we normally see. But when we're talking about the glory transformation, it's if you can imagine like the glory of God coming over this city and just hovering, similar to like the picture there, and just hovering, and because of the power, the essence, the majesty, the splendor, the grandeur, the glory, the weightiness of God's person being manifested in the atmosphere and in the realm, people's lives begin to be changed, adjust, and aligned with Him. If you have studied a history of awakenings that have moved upon a city or a nation, you hear things like people being awakened in the night simultaneously, just awaken, and they all get up and just head to church buildings. Are people being awakened and just hitting their knees in prayer? It's a movement of God that begins to permeate a culture, a place, a people. Alma Longa experienced this. And I was moved by the fact that he talked about it was a season of glory. To be able to pray for a sustained season of outpouring, of transformation. I showed you some photos last week. We'll revisit just a few of them. You can see those carrots there that grow there. Mark was given a bag of them by this woman. We actually prayed with her and ministered to her. And it's about all one guy can do to carry a bag of them in it, Mark. Like you could hold them in your hand and it'd go down to your elbow, the carrots. Acres and acres of produce. The marketplace just full. And there is one photo of the valley that just stretches on for a while, probably a couple of miles. It's just amazing to see what God did there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, as we step into God's Word here, Paul is writing and he's describing the former glory of God under the old covenant when Moses had gone up in the mountain to meet with God. And you remember he came down and his face shone with the glory of God? He had to wear a veil and eventually it faded away. So the people to whom Paul was writing was familiar with this, and he uses that as a bridge to step into the realm of glory that we as new covenant believers can expect and anticipate. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Say that with me. There is liberty where the Spirit is. So we always want to be a congregation where the Holy Spirit's free to do what He desires to do. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, he's speaking to believers, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. That word image is the Greek word where we get the word icon. And he's talking here about the image of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
You see how all that fits together? Christ lives in me. We said that earlier out of Galatians 2:20. We just keep coming back to how important it is to know who you are, know who Christ is, who you are in Him, who He is in you. He lives in you, believers. And this says that you are being transformed into His image, notice this, from glory to glory. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Summary statement of these verses, Paul is saying, where the Holy Spirit is honored, led, followed, allowed to lead, to do what He wants to do, there's liberty. In that environment, believers are transformed where they become more and more like Jesus. And it's a work that's wrought by the Spirit of God within us. And the end result is, if you've got a group of people who are all aligning with this, getting this, understanding this, and we're becoming more like Jesus, which means we're living like Jesus lived, thinking like Jesus thought. We are doing what Jesus did. You get a gang together in the midst of that kind of glory, because when Jesus was here, John says, and we beheld Him. We beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace of truth. And we were overwhelmed by wave after wave of grace. John 1 teaches us that. Jesus, where He went, there was an atmosphere of glory. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Neither. It was for the glory of God. In other words, Jesus said, you're about to see God's glory manifest on this man who's blind. In other words, God's going to use this to show you who He is and to verify who I am as the Messiah. So we are now continuing the work of Jesus, and the more we're transformed into His likeness, moving away from our old default patterns of thinking, hanging on to the lies we've always believed about ourselves, the lies we've believed about who God is, the lies we've believed about the Holy Spirit and all that. When the Lord deals with that and gets rid of that, and we just become more like Jesus, He's our focus, delivered from ourselves, and then the Spirit moving in us, that's when things happen. And we're told here that we are being transformed into His image. We need to surrender to that and yield to that more and more, Lord. So I want to take this passage and I want to go back to some of the things Pastor Mariano said, and I want to talk about this glory transformation with you, and I want to robe my thoughts around some statements. And the first one is this. God's glory can manifest in a number of miraculous ways. In Almalanga, again, the land itself was healed. Land that wasn't producing began producing. Many, many, many times over what it had ever produced. Things like the animals came back into the mountains. Fish came back into the streams. In other words, nature itself began to adjust and was influenced by what God was doing there. Now, we as a congregation have spent a lot of time in the first two chapters of Genesis because that's the original pattern. And you've heard me teach how Adam, before he sinned, had that anointing, had the glory of God on him. And when he walked through the woods, I believe he impacted them. The tomatoes got bigger when he walked by because of that glory that radiated from him. When Jesus came as the last Adam, he brought that with him. That's the reason sickness had to adjust to him and bodies were made well. Eyes that couldn't see had to see. Water you couldn't walk on, he could walk on. All these kind of things, nature adapted, adjusted, and aligned with the glory of God that was resident in his life. God's glory can manifest in a number of miraculous ways. Even the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth. We believe the Bible teaches that we have been given authority by the one to whom all authority has been given. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus said, all authority in earth has been given me. Now you go. And he told us what to do when we go. And so we are representing him in the earth now. We are his body in the earth. And there's a sense in which the earth, where Christians are living, the earth should be applauding. It should be adjusting. You should expect your garden to be bountiful. Well, I don't know about this. Well, listen, if you can just get by Genesis 1:1, where God says, earth be, and here we are. If you can accept that, this is nothing. God's glory can manifest in a number of miraculous ways, in healing and miracles. They had a lot of that happening. We saw a number of healings in the 8 days that we were in Guatemala. And it was a beautiful thing to behold. We saw people being set free from demonic bondage and Jesus just being Jesus. Pastor Mariano said that when the transformation, right before it started, there were very few churches, and the pastors that were in the area, most of them were illiterate. They couldn't read nor write. But he said when this transformation began, supernaturally, a number of these pastors became expert preachers who could read, write, understand the scriptures, read the scriptures, handle the scriptures. Just the glory of God imputed to them that ability supernaturally. I remember Carabeth sharing with me when she was at the International House of Prayer that there was a young lady that had attended there that God had supernaturally moved upon, and she began to speak in Latin. She could read Latin. She could understand it in its primitive form, so much so that Latin scholars from like universities would come and meet with her and ask her questions. It all was given to her supernaturally. You read stories like this that happened at the Azusa Street movement in 1904, 1905, 1906. Also there, the fire trucks were called out often because people would see the building on fire, but they would get there, and it wasn't the building, it wasn't being burned, it was the same kind of fire that burned in the bush that Moses went to check out. Supernatural fire. These kind of manifestations of the miraculous can happen where transformation happens. When we bought this property, before we ever started clearing it, Ray Hughes stood on the south end down there on the curbing. He and Andrew and I stood there one morning. I was showing him the property. We were talking. And you know how Ray is. He's just standing there, and he got that look in his eyes. And in a moment, he just started sharing what he's seeing. He said, the Lord's going to... He talked about cannons firing. Now he's a number of things and about 12 nations, and we've got all this. But he said, I feel like the Lord's saying there are miracles that are going to occur here in this work and ministry that have never occurred in other places. So they're really going to stretch people. They're going to be out there, bizarre kind of miracles, but God's going to do those kind of miracles here. I'm believing that, standing on that, believing that someday we will witness that and see that. And when God's glory began to manifest, you know, a couple of months ago we had a special service because we had the word, a prophetic word about the fire, wall of fire. And we met and we prayed and we worshiped around it and took that out of Zechariah and started decreeing and declaring, there is a wall of fire around this place and His glory is in the midst. And I decree and declare that this morning, though you may not see it with your physical eyes, there is a wall of fire around this, around our lives, around this congregation, around our culture, and the glory of the Lord is in the midst. May it increase. May we go from glory to glory. God's glory can manifest in a number of miraculous ways. Second statement, God's glory can increase in its frequency and intensity. Because Paul says we are being transformed from glory to glory. The idea is like one level of glory to another level of glory, to another level of glory, to another level of glory. There are, you could think of it as electricity. You got 110 volts. I've grabbed a hold of that a few times. You usually know it. But then when you go to 220, that's a whole different matter. You get into four phase and so forth. And we are living in the city known for power. Largest fireworks manufacturer in the world. That's a pretty big bang here in Florence, Alabama. Tennessee Valley Authority, those turbines down there generating, I don't even know how they... how the millions of kilowatts, whatever it's called, just coursing through that power of that river being harnessed and lighting this room up this morning. We're in a city of power. But that power that man's been able to tweak and manipulate that he still don't understand, it bows to the power of the risen Christ and the power of El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the God of power, the Lord of the angel armies. When God decides He wants to release His glory, His power, nothing will stand in its way. You can read what the psalmist says about when he speaks and how the cedars of Lebanon began to break. God's glory can increase in its frequency and intensity. We know it can diminish. Moses came down, lit up, but then it faded. But Paul said, in contrast to that, ours is not fading. Ours is increasing. Glory to glory. Hey, you want to do some interesting study? I did this the other day. You look up that Greek word for doxa, glory, and you read the occurrences of it in the New Testament. I think there's north of 250 occurrences. Look at how many of them are directly related to Jesus coming again. You talking about a lit up fireworks, every eye going to see it. Glory, it literally will be a face-melting glory for a lot of people. God's glory can increase in its frequency and intensity. The temple, when Solomon, they built it, it was one level, but when they dedicated it and the Lord moved in, that glory came, and it says the priests could not even stand in that atmosphere and minister. They wasn't but one place to sit in the temple, and the Lord sat there. They were on their faces under the weightiness of the glory of God. The night I got endued with power from on high up the road there at Faith Tabernacle in those days as a Baptist preacher, I sat there and shook like a leaf and I couldn't open my eyes, and I'm trying to figure out what has gotten a hold of me. Lord, I know this is You, but my goodness, what is this? I sat there as a good Baptist preacher in that chair shaking like a leaf, and the Lord said, what's the Hebrew word for glory? And He wasn't asking me because He didn't know. I said, it's kabod. He said, what does it mean? He wasn't asking that because he didn't know. He was teaching me something. I said, it means weightiness, heaviness. Then I realized, oh my goodness, I am under the glory of God. It can manifest so much you can't stand in its presence. I've been in altar services where you're walking across the altar area and you hit a place where there's the glory. You can tell it. You can feel it. Well, I'm not into that feeling and in that experience. We'll be dry and dumbed down if you want to be, but I want everything to be alive to God. You know? You can't help but feel. You can feel it coursing sometimes. I've seen people shake under the power. I've shook under the power. My right hand shook for like 7 days. I couldn't stop it. Just trembling under the power of coursing, under the presence, the anointing, the glory of the Lord. Now, He's present where you're sensing that or not. We're talking now about when His glory manifests and begins to adjust things in the room, adjust things in a life, adjust things in a family, adjust things in a visit, in a business, or adjust things in a community. God's glory can increase its frequency, that is, how often it manifests, its frequency and intensity. A little over a year ago, I was standing here, February was a year ago, at this pulpit, and I was just ministering, and I was sharing a testimony, and I was sharing a testimony about a brother, back in 1997, look, and he was sitting back there. And I started weeping. Many of you were here. I finally ended up on my face. I could not stop weeping. And the glory of God just manifested in the room. We had a woman over here that was an RN nurse who had 4 major tests the previous year, told she had congestive heart failure. They were talking to her about putting her on a transplant list, thought she was having a heart attack, like a hot stick of iron was shoved through her. She came up here. Pastor Doc prayed for her. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. 4 days later, she goes to UAB Hospital. There's a man here that sat in the room with her when the doctors brought her in after 6 hours of testing and says, we don't have an explanation for it, but your heart is fine now. There's nothing wrong with it. God's glory. Nobody was asking for that necessarily, praying for it, or even expected it. It's just that God's glory manifested, and she got healed, and several other people got healed. There was a young man sitting right over here that Sunday that had had debilitating back pain for over 3 years, a younger man. And God touched him and healed him, and he's still heel kicking happy about it to this day. The glory of God. So let's expect this. Let's pray for this. Let's press in for this. There's no switch you can flip. There's no arm you can twist. There's no formula you can use. There's no trick. There's no fabrication. There's no manipulation. But by the grace and mercy of God, our Father at times will stretch forth His hand and do all what He only can do. And one thing Pastor Mariano says that's always present when that happens is humility. It's not, so-and-so's going to be there today. Wow, listen. It's because Jesus Christ is in this room that anything will happen. We honor Him. We must honor Him. Exalt Him. And thank God for those He uses. Not against that. Thank God for it. But let's keep our crosshairs where they need to be. God's glory can increase in its frequency and intensity. Then God's glory can bring about tangible, measurable change in a people and place. And I thank God for services where we're encouraged and we just feel good. And yes, the Spirit moves and, you know, but what I'm talking about today is, I mean, things change. People change. Change. You can see it. There's fruit of it. Like John said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And thank God for weeping. But you can cry for a lot of reasons. Thank God for jumping and shouting. Glory to Jesus. Touchdown, Alabama. People do it for lots of different reasons. That's not what makes it happen. That's just things that are happening because something's happening. And thank God for that. But who makes it happen is a Him. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's measurable. Change can be measured. It can be seen. The proof is in the pudding. Like a heart was healed. A back was healed. People were saved. A demon was cast out. These are signs of the kingdom. In Almalanga, I'm just going to read this to you for the sake of time. Here's some of the results of that restoration. A few of them. There are a few churches before the transformation. The number of churches in the town of 20,000 grew to over 24, with several churches having regular attendance of over 1,000. This is over a fairly short period of time that all this came about. 8 out of 10 residents considered themselves born again Christians. The church pastored by Pastor Mariano, which seats 1,200, was full almost every Sunday. Names of businesses and street names were changed to biblical names. Before the transformation, there were 36 bars that were operating. After the transformation started, they were reduced to only 3, with many of those others converted into churches. As the drinking was reduced, so was the violence. The last of Almalanga's 4 jails were closed and were renovated, becoming a location for community events, weddings, and receptions. The community now has 2 Christian radio stations. Idolatry and superstition were displaced by fervent worship of God. At that time, there was an idol that was worshipped by a bulk of the people called Maximon, a literal idol that the people worshipped, had a priesthood for this idol. When the transformation came, those priests took their idol and moved to another city. Christian values dominated the people's work ethics. The brothel in town was closed. The divorce rate went to 0. Literacy levels greatly increased. Prior to the transformation, women were considered not much different than just servants. Afterwards, women began to become educated, started businesses, even stepped in professions previously considered only for men. The churches continued their same level of fervency and fasting and prayer. They believed that their fasting gave them power over the principalities of darkness. Almalanga became one of the cleanest and most prosperous towns in all of Guatemala. And Pastor Mariano said, and I've since read as well, that what began to happen there, it spread southward into the fields of agriculture way south of there, many, many, many miles south in that whole region, just blessed, the ground flourishing. Changed the economy. All the boats in the harbor, if you will, were raised when the transformation came. The culture was permeated with a fervency for Jesus Christ, to worship Him, a passion, a strong belief in prayer and fasting, humility. Next statement I want to make. God's glory can bring transformation to entire regions and even nations. And I just mentioned how it spread out of the region around Almalanga throughout that southern part of that half of Guatemala. When Dr. Stephen List has been here before, and by the way, he will be here on Wednesday evening, June the 19th, and I'm going to be interviewing him about the transformation that has occurred in the Fiji Islands. But we've heard him share before of how their government has changed. Their political leaders become born again, meeting in the city square there in the capital city, having worship meetings. And they too, they had fish that had left their rivers for over 50 years and had not been seen that returned back to the rivers. Their bananas, really big. Those kind of things happening in the Fiji Islands as well, with the land responding to the outpouring of God. So, you know, we are believing that God's going to do something here. It's going to permeate this city, this region, and then beyond here. And you've heard me say this many times. There is a sense you don't go through this area on the way to hardly anywhere. It's kind of nowheresville. Yet, in the early 60s and throughout the 1960s and 1970s, the world came to the Muscle Shoals area because of the sound, the music. And we've had so many prophetic words about this, but I'm convinced that part of the transformational power of God that's going to be manifest here is going to be in this area of sound and worship. And it will affect economies. It will affect, you know, there's major areas. I've done a lot of research on the history throughout the years about this. I mentioned the power earlier. Others, transportation. Florence was the largest wagon wheel manufacturer in the whole world in the late 1800s. Henry Ford came here. He was going to build a Ford plant and did, but he had a big dream of a city going from here to Huntsville on either side of the river, and lots of dreams. But a lot, and we still have a lot of industry here related to the automotive industry, whether it's making the bodies for Ford trucks or the lighting for cars and vehicles, transportation parts. There's just something about transportation, and I think we're going to see a boom here. But at its heart, it's going to be, this time it's not going to be in the natural, it's going to be the supernatural. It's not going to be through natural abilities, it's going to be through the manifestation of supernatural ability. And there's going to be the redemption of gifts and talents and callings in this region, whereas a sound was released around the world in the natural, there's going to be a sound of worship, a well of worship that'll be opened up here that's going to touch the nations, and I believe that with all my heart. Pastor Mariano started praying when this was happening. He said, Lord, can this transformation, can it be carried to the nations? And the Lord led him to host a conference. 20,000 people registered from 102 nations to attend the conference. Sat Mark and Robin and Mickey and I sat and listened to him talk about this. 20,000 people came. They could only have it one day because they didn't have hotels for them to sleep in. So they just did a one-day event, an impartation that what was happening in Amalanga could be carried to the nations. A month before that event took place, Pastor Mariano said he was in an airport and he was having conversation with the man. Didn't know the man, but he's telling what's happening. And that man said, well, if you have an event like that, how are you going to feed 20,000 people? And Pastor Mariano said, we need somebody to provide for it. In a few moments, that man looked at him and said, what do you need? He said, well, I'd like to have 10,000 pollo camperos, chicken fingers, plates, 10,000 of them, and 10,000 beef for 20,000, 10,000 chicken, 10,000 beef. And the man in a few moments said, I'll provide it. I'll take care of it. So they got to talking and he turned away for a moment and looked back and the man was gone. He didn't have any information, didn't have a phone number, didn't have a way of contacting him. So now he's getting close to the day of the event. He said, I started worrying. These people are going to come. And how are we going to feed them? I don't know how to get in touch with this person. He said that he would provide it, that he would take care of it, but I haven't heard a thing from him. I don't know how to find him. I don't know how to call him. He said, I was really worried. And the day before at 5 p.m., pulling into the square in front of the church was a big old Pollo Campero tractor trailer rig full of chicken and stuff. He said 4 hours later at 9 p.m., another big truck filled with chicken and beef pulled up. So there they were. God had provided to feed those 20,000 people from 102 nations. And he said it was a glorious day. Glorious day. He's landlocked there. They needed land to grow. And the woman that owned the land that they wanted, they go and meet with her. And she says, I will give you the land. 2 hours later, she died. And then the children wouldn't honor that. As it's turned out, that whole big city square in front of the church has been left vacant. So whenever they need more space, they can just use that big open area. And he said, we'll fill it up with people. But he just told stories of how God started moving and just started doing things that only God can do. That's what this world needs. And I know there'll always be the crowd that will try to explain it away. But when God moves with this type of transformative power, whole regions, whole nations can be impacted. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to be talking about. And when I didn't catch this the first two times I listened through. You know how you'll listen. I'm bad. I'll listen. I'll hear something. Well, it goes on, and I'm sitting there thinking about what I heard, and I'm processing that. So somehow or another, I missed this part. Because I asked him, I shared last week, I asked him, tell me, what's your concern now? Because you've had such transformation. He said, now we have a generation that has never known poverty. And I talked to you last week about the blind side of blessing, how we've got to always be grateful and remember, like today Christy came up. This was God reminding us today to remember what He's done for us, not to take it for granted and to rejoice, and like Pastor Larry said, to dance on the grave. You know, and we need to do that. There's places where the devil tried to kill us that we can stand and rejoice now. It goes along with what Pastor Mariano said. Because he said, this generation's never known poverty. But then he went on to say, because when he said that, that's what got me. And I wasn't listening. But he went on, then he said, but there is no generation that God cannot reach. He says, when the opposition becomes too much, that's when you see the greatest glory manifest. So that's where I get this statement. God's glory seems to manifest the most when opposition arises the most. And last week I shared with you, he said there were three major waves of attacks that came against him in this movement. The first were the witches, the witchcraft. And by the way, there's been some of that going on. You can discern it by the way things are happening, different things that happen to people, the frequency and all that. But you know what? Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, this is, raise your hands with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we declare that the name of Jesus is the name above every name. We take our stand on the truth of the promise of God and the power of the blood of Jesus. And we break every curse. We break every fetish. We break every incantation. We break every ritualistic act of witchcraft that has been assigned against any and all in this room or this ministry in any way. And we make this decree, you will be of no effect. You cannot move against this people. You cannot operate here. You are not allowed to operate in this place. Among this people, you are bound away in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Mariano said that wave came. But he said the glory of God became so strong. The witches left. He said, and then the prophets came. And he said, a lot of the pastors weren't discerning. And the people would come and say, I'm a prophet and I'm here to help you. He said, but we just began to discover the Lord. He said the Lord gave him discernment that a lot of them were just fortune tellers. They were trying to ride the wave for their own gain and so forth. And he said, but you know what? He said the glory of God just got stronger and stronger, and they all left. And I shared with you last week about the Satanists that were going to have their convocation in Almalunga and destroy what God was doing. And so they got rooms in Guatemala City. We're going to come out early. It's a three-day thing. They got there on the first day. They were going to go to Almalunga on the second day and leave the third day. Well, when the second day came, when it got time to wake up, every single one of them overslept in the hotel. And he said it's like they became unconscious. It's like God caused a spirit of stupor to come upon them. And they couldn't get up. And it was so late in the day before they were allowed to wake up, they couldn't go to Almalunga, so they had to go back home. Yeah. Pastor Mariano said, they could not come because I stood and I declared, they cannot come to Almalunga. The power of the decree, we talked about that last week. And the man that coordinated that satanic event, he ended up being pulled into a church service while he was in Guatemala City, laying out in the spirit for 4 days, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, showed up at Pastor Mariano's 8 months later, I think it was, gave him a sheet of paper that showed where he was enrolled in a Bible college as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, this mountain here was full of all kind of security that God had around you. You had a lot more authority than we have. I gave my life to Jesus. I'm serving him now. That's the transformative power of the glory of God. God's glory seems to manifest the most when opposition arises the most. And you see, this is encouraging if you think about it. Because we are living in a culture where the devil seems to be having his way. There is such a delusion that's come upon people's mindsets, the way they think. The values have been turned upside down. Isaiah said it, they look at evil and call it good, look at good and call it evil. That's where the devil's having a heyday. Even here in the Bible Belt, people that were raised in church are believing that nonsense and coming under that spell. But here's the thing. If this is true, then that means we are being postured. If we will do what we need to do and humble ourselves and get alignment, then we're going to see a great manifestation of the glory of God. You know, Dutch, that lady had that dream, America shall be saved. This is how it can happen. This is how it can happen. Outpouring of God's glory that comes in like a morning fog and everything it touches adjusts to heaven. Power. I asked Pastor Mariano, I said, well, what's required? Interestingly, he said, it is this. The church has left the old path. That's the way he said it, wasn't it, Mark? The church has left the old path. He started talking about humility, prayer and fasting, those first principles. Basically, if you think about what he's saying, in other words, people were really discipled. They got serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's, you become like him when he becomes your focus, when he captures your gaze, when he has your heart, when you love him with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. When he's your all in all, you become transformed into his image, and then you begin to see manifesting in your life what he saw manifesting in his life, because it's his life manifesting in and through you. And you get a group of people together doing that. And it's ripe for transformation. So may we press in, as I encouraged last week, have an increase in our passion for what God wants to do. Because there's no doubt it is becoming increasingly difficult to raise a family in the ungodly culture in which we're living. We are being inundated left, right, fore and aft, over and under. Everywhere you turn, you're being hit by it. What the enemy's throwing at you, the lies of the enemy, the deception of the enemy, the immorality, the debauchery, the evil paraded as goodness. And the church, we've adjusted to the world instead of to the Word. Abandoning the old path. Let God be true. No matter what a professor says. No matter what a politician says. No matter what Congress says. No matter what some two-legged lying preacher says. Let God be true. And every man a liar. We've left the old path. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. We can't handcuff Holy Spirit and say, now you be a good boy. You go back there and you stay in the back room. If we need you, we'll see you sometime this week. Oh God, fill this room with your glory. Move upon our hearts. Melt us, Lord. We ask for a spirit of repentance. We ask, oh God, our King, that you would help us to truly humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Awaken hunger. Oh, at least we could put our glass out in front of him, right? Fill it up, oh Lord. May our cup overflow with your goodness. May we see with our eyes, Lord, the manifestation of your glory. Our worship team is coming. I want to encourage you to stand if you would. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. Do something in us that'll go home with us, Lord. That'll shift the way we think, the way we live. Here I am, Lord. Can you tell him that? Here I am, Lord, have your way. Here we are, Lord. Lord, your word says that your desire is to transform us from glory to glory by your Spirit. This altar's open. If you felt led to come and pray, our prayer team members are going to be back up here. I know we had a prayer time earlier, but it could be that God is stirring others even now. We want to be here to pray with you. It could be there are people here. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need someone to lay hands on you and pray a prayer of faith that the Holy Spirit would fill you. We pray that anointing would be present. The Lord speak into your heart. Come. If there are any who need to come, you come right now. We're going to worship. Holy Spirit, if there's anything you want us to see, anything you want to say, anything you want to do, we just say, have your way. a yes in your heart. For a moment, I want to give space here. The Lord has a word that He's giving someone. Pastor Doc.
The Lord spoke to my heart. This morning was the morning of awakening of prodigals. Since Pastor's been preaching, I saw them getting up awake. If you have a prodigal, I would encourage you to step out on the aisle and get somebody to agree with you this morning. Your prodigal is being awakened as I speak. And so in the name of Jesus, I would say to you, claim that for your prodigal and begin to rejoice that God is awakening your prodigal this morning in the name of Jesus.
Okay, if you have a prodigal, come on up, and if that's speaking to your heart, you come and pray. We've got another word that's going to be shared in just a moment, but you come and respond to this word. If that's speaking to you, we'll give just a moment for that, so we want everybody to be able to hear you. And just okay. Brother David.
Just this past week, I seen something, and I felt like the Lord was going to show me something out of it. But I want to remind us that everybody's attention just recently was back on the eclipse where the sun was blocked for a day. It was all this buildup, and then it was gone, and that everybody's not even talking about it no more. But just recently, last week, I took my wife down to Barton and showed her the solar farm. We got two of them that's been built here in this area. One's on the Cobb County side, one's on the Lauderdale County. There's like 64,000 panels that are lined up where they face the east and the west. They rotate where they follow the sun. And out of them 64,000, I think, on Cobb County, they can empower over 35,000 homes.
Wow.
And, of course, we're creating that power to sell to the power grid. But I felt like the Lord was showing me after your message this morning that what I was seeing there was two things. They were all in unison facing the sun.
Mm.
And they kept their face on the sun all day long, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. And then also that they was in unison. No one stood out. There was unity. And I feel like these are two powerful things when you said about going back to the old. It's about prayer and fasting, but it's about keeping our eyes on Jesus and being in unity, because there's power in unity.
Amen. Good word. A good word. There's a beautiful picture in it. All of them adjusting, moving with the sun. That's what we want to do. All eyes on Jesus. All eyes on Jesus and being in unity together. Paul, did you have something? Okay. Anyone else? And listen, if you need to go, feel free to leave. If you need to leave, feel free to do that. No guilt. But we're just staying here a moment. We want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Benny? Linda? Can you, someone get her a mic? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Miss June, we just want to be sensitive here.
Several years ago, Benny and I and Pastor Doc and Brother Ruben De Leon from the Spanish church went to Alamalonga. It was the first time anybody from the area had gone. And the thing that amazed us was that there were no beggars.
Yeah,
wow. You would go through the market and nobody would come grab you.
That's true.
And it's like the people knew who they were. And that's what we need to know, who we are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And
good work.
That we are not beggars.
Amen. We are not beggars. Amen. We're going to continue to worship. You're free to linger. You're free to leave. May God's blessings be upon you. We're just going to press in as they continue to worship.